Please be seated. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We are still on the Sermon on the Mount this week. I told you last week we'll be there for a while. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel was a really long sermon. And this light of the world stuff, I get that. I understand that. The metaphor makes sense to me, although I've never heard of a candle being put under a bushel basket, which would invariably either cause a fire or the flame to go out. But the salt part is different. I'm just not sure that I understand that. I'm really not sure that anyone does completely. We've all heard it preached, though. We've all heard the sermons about salt of the earth. And every one of us, hopefully, has had someone in our lives that we describe as the salt of the earth. They're the people we think of as humble and lacking any inkling of pretension. But they're also often some of the happiest people we've ever known. They're the kind of people who make us better people. There's only one problem, though, and that is salt of the earth in that context is a relatively modern English expression. And I don't think it has a thing in the world to do with what Jesus is speaking of in today's gospel lesson. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Well, we've got to hear those words as those who were sitting at Jesus' feet that day might have heard them. But that may not be a lot of help either. I want you to listen to what some of the world's greatest theologians have had to say about this particular text, this phrase. But fasten your seatbelts, it's a pretty wild ride. One insisted that salt of the earth is a reference to how the word is used in books like Exodus and Ezekiel, where salt is a purifying agent. The Romans believed that salt was the purest of all things. Others believe that a better usage might be found in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, where salt was a sign of God's covenant with his people. Salt in those days, as today, was a preservative. It's about preserving that covenant. Many theologians use this term as a call for us to purify the world around us, preventing the world from spoiling. In rabbinic literature of the time, salt was a metaphor for wisdom and intelligence. Others still point out that in those days, salt wasn't abundant and inexpensive, but rather it was precious and valuable. Others like to point out the most obvious understanding of salt that we have, and its usage is a metaphor for adding flavor and zest to our lives. Now, I like this one. I don't agree with it, but I like it. The position that salt causes one to become thirsty. So we are called to make the world thirst for Christ. But here's my favorite. It is the position of a pretty well-respected theologian. He believes that the salt referred to in Matthew's gospel is a leveling agent for patties made of animal manure. You heard it right. Animal dung. It was a fuel for outdoor ovens in those days. And you'd form a patty from the dung, you'd mix in the salt, and you'd let it dry in the sun. And when lit, the patties were actually a good and effective fuel source, burning longer and hotter. Now that's religion. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." But what does that really mean? Are we precious and valuable or common and abundant? Are we called to be purifiers, humble, unpretentious, wise, intelligent, flavorful, or nurturing? Are we, as salt of the earth, good in modest quantities but harmful in excess? Or are we called as disciples to recognize that sometimes the best we can hope for is to try to hold the dung together as best we can? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. But more importantly, I don't really care, because I don't believe that's the point of this at all. You see, Jesus doesn't call us to be the salt of the earth. He doesn't say, "Be salt," or "You must be salt," or "You should be salt," or even "It would be nice if you were salt." Instead, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are. It's a reflection of who we already are as those who are following this wandering rabbi. It's just like last week with the Beatitudes, where we're not called to be poor or mournful or hungry or persecuted. It's a reflection of who we are as we hear Jesus' words, the reality of life. So what does all that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means for me. It means that those who hear this are really hearing some good news, maybe for the first time in their lives. You are the salt of the earth. They know that salt can't lose its saltiness. And maybe for the first time they're hearing that that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to stay. Period. Right before their eyes, a gospel is being birthed. A gospel that says each of God's precious children is indispensable to God's relationship with the world. And nothing can change that. It's a gospel that proclaims that who we are is enough. And the same goes for our neighbor, even if that might be a neighbor we fear or despise. It's a gospel that won't let us stand on the sidelines, but pushes us out into the world that God so loves, that others might know that they are loved and welcomed and worthy. It's a gospel that is not a viewpoint or an opinion. It is a covenant with the creator of the universe. It is a gospel that acts out of empowerment, not out of fear. It's a gospel that doesn't look aside and say that God's earth is not hurting, but instead asks us to be God's hands and feet and mind and heart in the world around us that is hurting. And I pray, God, that we were able to hear these words today as those who watched that gospel come into being heard them. Because it's a gospel that means that God can use us for better than the world seems to want right now. It means that God can use us, no matter how flawed or cracked or broken we are, to make a difference in this world, giving hope where there is no hope, forgiving where forgiveness seems impossible, embracing where there's loneliness and despair, tolerating where there's prejudice, reconciling where there's conflict, bringing justice where there's wrong, providing food where there's hunger, and giving comfort where there's distress or hurt. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And if somehow you feel like you've lost your saltiness or your light has dimmed, then maybe it's time to ask yourself why. Because God needs you. God needs to use each of us to purify, to nurture, to preserve, and to add a little flavor into this broken world. And yes, sometimes God might even need us to be the glue that holds together the dung. For it is the power of God that supports, empowers, and sustains us, and stands with us. If only we will embrace that gospel and risk whatever it takes to become as salty as we can possibly be. God love you. Amen.